And we're thinking about the ultimate proof of God being for us. I've laid that out to you. He's sent His Son. Before I step into Luke 2, I want to tell you a little story just to move your mind toward that fact that God is for us. We were privileged to have Katie and Wes and Emily come to us in this past week, and it's a long story why they ended up on different planes, arriving at the same place, supposedly at the same time. I won't give you the details of that. But we were to pick them up in Milwaukee Airport on Wednesday night. You knew there's a big storm coming Thursday. You guys saw that. So about 9 o'clock or so, we were on our way and got a call and said, well, one of the flights had been delayed. Wes's flight was delayed and didn't finally get there until 1:30 or so in the morning. So, but we were on our way down there. I got a call from a friend. Older gentleman has had a solid impact in my own life as far as a spiritual man. And he chatted a bit. And he said, what are you doing? I said, well, we're going to the airport. We're going to pick up our son-in-law, our daughter, our granddaughter. And understand there's a little delay. And we've got some weather coming. Frank, would you pray? Yeah. Yeah, I'd be privileged to. So that was maybe 7 or 8 o'clock. I know he called about 11 o'clock or so, maybe midnight. And he had been to bed. He'd gone to bed already, and I could tell he just woke up, and at least that's what it sounded like. And how are you doing? What's happening there? I said, well, we got some rain now, and hopefully it won't turn to too much before we can get out of here. Looks like things are going to work out. We'll be able to pick everybody up. This flight's finally going to get here. Wes is going to arrive. I really wasn't going to leave him. I had told someone maybe I'd give him a bus ticket. He can find his way home. I've got my daughter, my granddaughter. That's his. Pretty good there. But so there was Frank at 11 o'clock midnight or so. So we finally get everybody. We're heading home in nasty weather, you know. 2:30. The phone rings. Who calls at 2:30? I thought, it's got to be Frank. Hey, what you got going there? How you doing? What's happening? I'll tell you what's happening here. We're just starting to get a little snow and he's going on. And I'm thinking, Frank, are you serious? But he woke up, wanted to pray, had to find out what was happening. So we're pretty well getting toward, let's see, it's 4:30 the next time. We're north of Green Bay, I think. And the phone rang again. And I suppose when you're 90, you know, you're up and down quite a bit in the night. I don't know. I'm not there yet. But here's Frank. Here's Frank. And I said, Frank, the weather's pretty good now. Things are going well. Pretty shocked to get a call that late in the night. But if you were to ask me, oh, that Frank guy, does he really care about you? Is he for you? I could say, absolutely. There's a guy that's for me. How do I know it? Well, he proved it. His love and care, praying for us and all that. Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and destroy. I have come that they may have life. They may have it more abundantly. He's for us. You're in Luke, the first, second chapter there. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, you might say, is God really for us? The writer, Romans 8 chapter, lays it out. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and so forth. And here we see it. Here we see it. Long prophesied Messiah coming to earth. God has proved his love. He said he would do this. And if you're a student of the scriptures, you will note that God has over and over again in the Old Testament said that he would provide a redeemer, the Messiah. I believe it was with anxious anticipation that some were looking forward to this event when the deliverer would be delivered. That's what happened in those first seven verses there of Luke, the second chapter. And because God said he would do it, that's what he did. One of my favorite verses to ponder this time of the year and throughout is Galatians 4:4. In the fullness of time, or just the right time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem those who are under the law. And then verse 5, that we might receive the adoption as sons. That's what God did. Is he for us? Absolutely. You know, we live in a society, in a world that is not friendly toward those of faith. And it's becoming more and more apparent, if you didn't know it, this is not our home. We're pilgrims passing through. So it is that at times we note that the world is against us. Certainly we know the devil's against us. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He wants to destroy you, your family, your testimony. He's against us. But you know, the flesh is against us as well. Sometimes our own hearts deceive us. They take us places we ought not to go. In the middle of all that, here stands God, who is for us, who's given his son. 1 John 5, verse 4, 9 and 10. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. By this, the love of God was manifested or made known to us, that God sent his only begotten son into the world so that we might live through him. He's for us. If you're still in Luke 2, and I hope you are, he's provided for us a way of salvation. Look what it says here. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. Verse 9. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." By the way, these are words from the Father through the angel. "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today, in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." He's provided a way of salvation for us. And by that I mean to escape the wages of sin, which is death. We see it in the announcement. Quite a stirring there for those shepherds. And they were taken back by this. The glory of the Lord there in verse 9 shone around them. They were terribly frightened. It takes a lot in the middle of the night to scare a shepherd. To bring them to this point where they were fearful, there was quite an event that happened. And this angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for today I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people." It is to all people. It's by way of announcements. It's to the least of these and beyond. Shepherds were seen as the lowest on the social totem pole of their day. And that just goes to show us that nobody's beyond God's grace. And God has his heart extended to all that they might come to know him. He's interested in those who may seem the most insignificant to us, those shepherds, not regarded as much in their society and not of much interest to anybody, to many people. But God gave them this announcement of good news, of great joy, which will be to everyone. That word good news in original, we get the word evangelize from. It is the word that we have to proclaim. And we proclaim that God has sent forth his son, that sinners may be redeemed. We're to evangelize, to share that good news. It's to all people. All those generations that have gone on before, our generation, the people here now, those yet to come, God says to all, this is good news. I have something for you. I've provided the Redeemer. And it's by way of a babe in a manger who would grow, who would live, who would become, or who would we would see as our standing in our place as the Savior of the world. Today, in the city of David, a Savior, Christ the Lord. Lord there is the Old Testament, and it would be it's the Greek equivalent of God. The Old Testament would be Jehovah. But he's Christ, the Messiah, Savior. That's what our Lord's name means. That's who he is. And there's a reason why God sent a Savior. Because sinners stand in need of a Savior. Christ, the promised one, the Messiah. And then Lord, he's God. This is our Jesus. He's the Messiah. He's God. He's fully man, fully God. He's a person. This will be a sign for you. It goes on to say in verse 12, you'll find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. You see, the Father spoke, I believe, through the angel, gave this announcement of good news, great joy to all people. And it is that, it's great joy. When we grasp what it is that God is doing and has done, that ought to move our hearts to be courageous, to grow in faith. But there's got to be joy here. There's got to be joy that he would redeem sinful man, fulfill his word, and so forth. So, and then you see this host of heaven joins the angel as well in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest. I believe that the anthem and the praise in heaven went up a notch that day when Jesus was born. It is that God moved, sent an angel to proclaim this, and that the heavenly host joined in. On earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. I know that, especially this time of year, you know, our days now, they've begun. Yesterday was the shortest daylight day of the year, I believe. And in fall, you get those darker days, and I think it can move our hearts sometimes toward places we ought not to go, and we can struggle with really rejoicing as we ought to. But folks, this is a reason to rejoice. God has delivered. He's for us. Well, these shepherds, they couldn't keep it quiet. I love what they do here. There was good news proclaimed to them, and you know what they did? They thought, you know what? We can't tell anybody this. We've really got something here. Let's go back to watching sheep. They couldn't keep it quiet. They could not keep it quiet. It moved these men. Verse 15, when the angels had gone away, quite a deal, isn't it? Think of being there, that whole setting. Unbelievable. When the angels have gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem and let us see the thing that has been that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. By the way, they were in a hurry. They went straight. They immediately got up and moved. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back. How did they go back? They went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them. Well, they go and they proclaim, they tell what God has done. Folks, that's our calling. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation, of telling the world about a God in heaven who created them, who they're responsible to, who loved them enough that he would move to the point of sending his one and only son as a babe in a manger, to grow to be a man, to die in their place for their sin, standing there before God to take the wrath of God, a holy God who must judge sin. We have the message, and that through faith in Christ, you can be released of all your sin. You can be redeemed. You'll be adopted into the family of God. The righteousness of Jesus Christ will be placed on your account. You'll be made right for heaven. And in the meantime, you have someone for the challenges of life who's with you, who'll take you through, who'll guide you, who's for you. That's a message that we have. And we must proclaim it. And we begin with those closest to us and onto the uttermost parts of the earth. I want to finish with a couple questions, a short story, and we'll close after that. The story is told of a man who got on a bus on February 14th carrying a dozen red roses. He was an old man. And he sat beside a young man. The young man looked at the roses and said, somebody's going to get a beautiful Valentine's gift today. Yes, said the old man. A few minutes went by and the old man noticed that this young companion was staring at the roses. Do you have a girlfriend? The old man asked. I do, said the young man. I'm going to see her now. I'm taking her this. And he held up a Valentine's Day card. They rode along in silence for another 10 minutes. The old man rose to get off the bus. As he stepped out in the aisle, he suddenly placed the roses on the young man's lap and said, I think my wife would want you to have these. I'll tell her I gave them to you. He left the bus quickly, and as the bus pulled away, the young man turned to see the old man enter the gates of a cemetery. There was something this young man knew that day, that old man was for him. And he knew it by what he had done for him in the giving of the roses. What are your thoughts toward God today? Do you know this, that He is for you? We live in a world where so much negativity, everything it seems at times is piled against us, but I want you to know this fact, that as we think about the Christmas story, there's something that ought to jump out of the page toward our own hearts, and that is God is for us. If He's for you, you have no need to worry. He's more than capable to providing everything that you need. If He's for you, and He is, you have purpose in life and reason to sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. If He's for you, and He is, you can know that if He's for you, and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, tell those closest to you the good news of great joy, which is for all people. I want to close just with this. As much as He is for us, one cannot know Him or come to Him in any other way than through His Son. There was a verse quoted in our Sunday school class this morning. John 14:6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." There's only one way to have a relationship with the Father, and that's through the Son. It's a wonderful truth here that God is for you. But there's also a sobering reality for those who would reject Him. And I must tell you about that. One verse, John 3:36, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life." And we say, praise God. Flip side of that is, "He who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Do you know Him? Do you know Him today? Have you come to the point in your life where you understand that I am a sinner and I'm deserving of God's wrath, of His judgment? Have you come to the point where you know I have nothing to offer to a holy God who has offered to me His one and only Son, who was perfectly righteous, something I am not? Have you come to the point where you understand that only through faith in Jesus Christ can I be right with God and have heaven assured for me, have a Savior who's come to give life and help me through this challenge of what it is to live as a Christian? Have you come to that point? If you have, you need to cry out to the Lord and say, "Lord, save me," and He will. You who know Him, we have nothing to do but rejoice, because God is for us. In the good, in the bad, in the ugly, He stands there for us. He's just a prayer away, and He's able and capable of doing anything and everything that He purposes in our life. We can rest there. We can find peace there. We can rejoice there. Let's pray. Loving Father, that You would be for us is an amazing thing, because we know, in some aspect at least, who we are. We know that our hearts often wander, that our thoughts are not always what they ought to be. Our love for You wanes at times. Our faith falters. We become at times downtrodden when we need only to look to You. Thank You, Father, that there's not a moment in time when You do not, because You're God, that You do not think about us, that Your heart is not for us, that You do not reach out and offer to us, whether that's salvation or just to come back in repentance. You are so steadfast in being there for all those things, and we praise Your name. May what we've talked about today, Father, really move us to rejoice in You. Thank You for who You are, what You've done, and what You continue to do. And we praise Your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand as we close singing, "Worthy, You Are Worthy." Whoa. peace.